right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. Sandy Williams is here. And you know Sandy is a guy of few opinions. it's good to have him here. Who do we have on the line, Sam?
Dave from Mequon's calling in.
All right. Hey, Dave, what's going on, man?
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Sandy and Earl. Really quickly, just to talk about the vaccine situation, I should just remind people, just a few months ago, the CDC recommended, the director, Rochelle Walensky, she recommended not taking the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine because of the potential of blood clots. And there were a few people there. I think there were almost all women that died from the blood clots. And there was another group of people who were hospitalized. And so, and then if the other thing I was going to point out was there was an issue with people getting heart inflammation as well, in addition to blood clots. So we have to be careful. And to your point, Sandy, vaccines are good up to a point, but keep in mind, there was a bill passed in the late 1980s that kept big pharma. If there was something bad that would happen with the vaccine, if you were to take a vaccine afterwards, you have no way of ability of suing for any loss of anything. So keep that in mind, that there's a reason why that was put in place, because they cannot be really held liable or accountable if it does not work correctly.
Hey, Dave, what was your take on ivermectin?
Well, as far as ivermectin, I mean, I've heard, a lot of different stories. I personally would not have used that. But, as far as what other people, I do know that it has been around for quite a while. It's a cheap drug. It is. Billions of people have used it for other uses. I know that there was a caller saying she used it for Lyme disease. And the study that has come out, which is good because, it is being used around the world. It's not just the United States that's using that. It is good to get information out there as to what the benefits and what the downsides could be. I have no problems with that.
Let's let Sandy respond.
Well, Dave, I agree with you. The whole thing, the problems with the vaccine, and like I said, was that it was never explained to the public well in the first place. Vaccines are a public health response that is not keyed to telling people that everyone who gets a vaccine will be saved by it, won't experience any harm from it. It's really a community health movement designed to get you get rid of smallpox by getting everyone to get vaccinated. And was everyone going to get smallpox? No. But you needed to get everyone vaccinated in order to essentially eliminate the disease. Same with polio. And were there downsides to the vaccines? Undoubtedly, in both cases, yes. I think the job and the problem with the vaccines for COVID was they were rushed to the market, and Johnson & Johnson clearly thought they had a marketing success with a one-shot vaccine, and they had a different approach to it. And you're right, there were early on some blood clot side effects. There were side effects from all of the vaccines. The question is,
right,
how material were those side effects to the people who experienced them, and how many of them were there? I still believe that the vaccine strategy was an important one. Now it seems that with the spread of Omicron and the fact that over 50 million Americans have now had COVID, we now have a situation where far more people have been sort of naturally vaccinated, and the disease has morphed into something that's a little less dangerous. And I think the science is getting more transparent about what kind of side effects there might be. Again, I think it's how science is spun to the public and how the public understands it. And if we spin it incorrectly and give them definitive notions about what science has told us, and then we find out that it's not exactly definitive, it gives people a lot of doubt. And I think that's what's happened with a vaccine.
And I was going to say, and to Sandy's point, I was just also going to say, keep in mind medicine, obviously, as well, you know, pills for a variety of different diseases also have side effects, and every person is a little different. Like, my father has diabetes, and the old standby is metformin is one of the diabetes medications, and unfortunately for my dad, he can't use it because he has issues with his stomach when he takes that medication. No one told him initially, but he asked the pharmacist, oh yeah, that, you know, that is unfortunately a side effect and blah, blah, blah. And it's important, and I always tell this, and I tell this to Earl, that you have to be your own best advocate for yourself, because some people have allergies to certain things, or, you know, their body reacts a little differently for whatever reason. And I think that's all important, obviously, to tell the doctor.
Dr. Dave, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the call. Sam, who do we have up next?
Bill from Oconomowoc's calling in.
Hey, Bill, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Oh, thanks, Earl, and your associate there. You guys bring so much sanity to a world that deals in fantasy.
Well, that's Sandy.
No, both of you guys. You're a 1-2 punch. You're like ham and egg. I mean it. You're doing a great job. No, I mean it. I'm serious.
Okay, because you compliment each
other constantly. But here's my question to you. Do you think our culture will ever change to realize that mandates for masks and inoculations are a good thing, or do you think they'll worry about their rights? What's your thoughts?
It's actually a good question.
It is a good question, and I think it has a lot to do with how the government presents information to people. The masks were presented to people as something that would initially make them safer. And then when science got a hold of it, they realized that masks primarily help by making everyone else safer, and that you could still possibly get enough of a dose of the virus through a mask to get it. And then more science went on, and they realized that when they did broad longitudinal studies, that wearing a mask made both the people wearing it safer and the people around them safer. And so the knowledge evolved. But the mandate for masks sounded like, in the beginning, we were telling you had to wear a mask for your own safety. And, you know, it took a long time for people to wear seatbelts and helmets on motorcycles. People don't like being told what they have to do for their own safety. And if the government tells them what to do, it's like telling your kid not to pick up whatever. Don't play with matches. The kid didn't even think about playing with matches until you told him, and then he lit them.
You add to that smoking cigarettes. You know, I don't know what else it is you can say to people. Some people just, like you said, don't want to be told. I've had conversations with people, and some people are pretty smart, and they may not smoke cigarettes, but they smoke a big cigar.
Yeah, but my point is that those people maybe smoked and they just ignore the warnings from the government. I think mandates from a government can cause a knee-jerk negative reaction that causes people not to do what they otherwise would have been willing to do if they'd understood why.
Is that because we don't trust the government?
Yeah, I think we resent the government, and I think we resent being told what, and we resent our parents for that matter. Your mother told you, put on a warmer coat when you go to school, you said, yeah, fine. And then you went out and you just defiantly, it was a good idea, you knew it, but you weren't going to do it.
So I want to, when we come back after the break, I want to, you know, you to, let's dig a little deeper on why people resent their government. I mean, I've got some reasons why I resent the government, but one of them is not, hey, you need to wear a mask. I mean, I just don't think...
I'm going to call Dr. Freud. We need him. We need him for the next segment.
I just, for the life of me, when you're looking at what was going on at the time, and you saw China and other places, they were doing that. They were doing it before we were, and it was showing that it was working.
It was cultural, though. Those people understood why they were doing it, and I think that's the problem. The way we presented it to the public, because we have a primitive notion of thought processes maybe in our country.
Hey, we've got to go to a break. Sandy is opening mouth, inserting foot. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.